The donut box.
The donut box. With Spotify Wrapped telling us what we listen to, what's topping on our charts, we are going to start wrapping up our lessons of the year. Yes, in this episode, we are going to recap our year and talk about our biggest lessons. My name is Jo Sebastian. I'm a registered nutritionist and dietitian, and you are listening to The Donut Box, where we unbox stories and talk about things we usually don't talk about. So if you're ready, let's unbox the story. It's Jo.
And it's Elijah.
And you're listening to
The Donut Box.
This is our last episode of 2023.
How many episodes? A lot of
episodes. We made it in life, meaning we survived another year, essentially. The year went by so fast. I feel like every year just gets faster and faster, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's a slow start, and then it's just like, bye. It's like what they say. It's like January, February, March, April, May, June, July, December.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole year went by so fast for me, especially, actually, it started in July of 2022 when my clerkship started. And then I was just like, wait, I graduated. And then now it's December. So I'm like, it's like kind of trans, like I'm like in a trance or like in a dream. It's like, where am I?
That's true. I think a lot of like at the end of the year specifically, everything just feels like a whole mush together. And then when you look back, you're like, whoa, so many things happened this year. It's crazy. So for our last episode of this year, we'll actually be doing a little bit of our learnings from the past few years. And from the past year. And I know it's a bit early, like there are still a lot of days in December coming. But hopefully, and since this is our last episode, it will help us recap and also prepare us for the next year as well.
Yeah, let's get it.
We're going to share our top three learnings from this year. These learnings are also probably things we already know or already, you know, had some shape or form experience in our life. But every year there are lessons that are more, what do you call it? It's like there's a deeper understanding of a lot of lessons. There are also new things that come up, or you understand it in a different context in your life. So let's try and go through those things. Are you ready to unbox it, Elijah?
Yep, let's unbox it all the way. The last unboxing for the year
of 2023.
Okay,
you can start. You go with your first.
So the first thing that I learned this year, and I guess it started in July of 2022, but, you know, I guess I can backpack it to 2023, would be how important not skipping your meal is. Like,
your meal pattern is very important.
Yeah. I learned this the hard way. Well, it's not like I had a choice.
I think the question also is like, do we learn anything in an easy way?
That's true. Even when you're learning stuff from school, it's never easy, right? Unless you're a genius, but we're not geniuses. We're not all geniuses.
Okay, continue.
What do I mean by the importance of not skipping a meal? Well, the lesson for me was in clerkship. I know it's not for everybody who's if you're a med student or you're a clerk in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Wait, can you explain a bit more of what clerkship is exactly for those who are not familiar?
Yeah, so clerkship is basically your fourth year in medical school where you're basically at the hospital. It's no longer a classroom thing. You're taking care of patients for the most part. I think there are some med schools that don't take care of patients yet. They do more of like shadowing doctors and stuff like that, which means to like just follow consultants and see how they do stuff.
So you're like a semi-doctor.
Yeah, in a way. You're basically the scum of the hospital.
that's
what we call it. But yeah, we take care of patients. We interview them. We do like outpatient department stuff. We do basic procedures. We help in surgeries, et cetera, et cetera. And not a lot of, there are some clerks that don't do 24 hours, but I was part of the I'm part of those clerks. Our school
that had those
does
rotations.
24 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And in the most toxic, I don't want to call it toxic, but yeah, in the most heavy rotations, IM, surgery, pediatrics, OBGYN, you usually pull like two to three 24 hour, 24 hour shifts in a week. So you can average around 90 to 100 hours per week mm-hmm. at the hospital.
And this is like and not paid, you guys. This is just.
Yeah, you're paying them actually. If you think, yeah. You're paying them to be an intern. You're basically a junior intern. That's what clerkship is.
Yeah. Different from internship, which is after you graduate.
Yeah. Junior intern versus postgraduate intern. So you graduate, you become an intern, and then you take your board exam, and then you become a resident. So anyways, when you pull 24 hours, especially if you're working in a very, very high-paced environment, IM, surgery, where especially in IM, where you have like depending on if you're a private or if you're in public, which is in our hospital, you could have up to 10 to 15 patients at once, and you have to take care of all of them. You have to take their vitals, you have to see their procedures, you have to do x-rays, stuff like that, et cetera, et cetera. And there are countless of times where you won't be able to eat on time. And sometimes you won't be able to eat at all. Like there are times where I would have breakfast at my condo at like 6 a.m. and then my next meal would be midnight that same night.
Or like 6 a.m. the next day.
Or 6 a.m. the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like I wouldn't even have breakfast because I would be in a rush because I'd have to scrub in or something and you'd have to be at the hospital by 4 p.m. or 4 a.m. even though mm-hmm. you start at 7, but you have to scrub in because mm-hmm. that's the first surgery of the day and you don't get to eat until either after or, but if it's like you're heavy loaded with patients, yeah, you don't get to eat for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I also find like crazy why those in healthcare literally have the worst self-care and not by choice, but because you have like no time for yourself in those situations, right? Nurses, doctors, I'm not so sure what the dietitian life is in the clinic right now, but most people in healthcare are the ones who actually don't have time to take care of themselves. And it's so funny and sad at the same time because it's like they're the ones who are telling you to take care of yourself, but they are not able to do that for themselves as well. You know, it's funny because ironic, but sad because reality.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you can say like, really? You can't find time? It's like, we really
yes.
try to.
Yeah, we can. Yes.
We, yeah, cannot we really, like there are times we'd be like, okay, partner, let's because sometimes you always have a partner. There's somebody there with you, especially. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sachi, he's my partner. And there'll be times where I'd be like, Sach, let's order food. The food will arrive, and we wouldn't touch it for the next 6 hours. And we're like, I'm so hungry. So we have to like deck in, deck out, which means like mm-hmm. they hold the fort for you while you eat, then you switch. But there's sometimes mm-hmm. it's so overloaded, you're just like, dang, yeah. I can't eat.
There's a TikTok I saw of this nurse, and then they're like finally eating their dinner of like rice and hot dog, and then they were like, they're the only nurse on duty at that time, and then somebody coded, so they didn't even get to finish their food or eat their food, and they were supposed to like do a little bit of a recording of their eating, and then it was like they just had to stop, and it was just really this big realization of like, oh my god, it's so sad, it's so kawawa for that. And the importance of eating your meals and not skipping your meals is because it's going to help you throughout your day and help you get energy, you know?
Yeah, my weight actually fluctuated. It yo-yoed in clerkship. I would lose like 5-10 pounds and then I gave it back because I'd eat a lot and then I wouldn't get to eat and then I'd eat a lot and I wouldn't get to eat. And it was just like it was a roller coaster ride for me. And yeah, when you skip your meals, it just really ruins your meal timing. So, like, for example, you skip 24 hours. The following day, I'd be too tired sometimes to eat. So I would sleep at like 8 a.m. and I'd wake up at 2 p.m. and then that would be my first meal. So actually, I'd go more than 24 hours fast. No food, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you end up just like blah, 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 blah. And then you don't realize you've already gone past your normal fullness levels. Mm-hmm. And then you're very uncomfortable.
Exactly. This is what we talk about a lot also in previous episodes, right? Your meal pattern is so important because of that reason. And this is like one of those things that really get emphasized for me as well this year. Well, for you, it was in like clerkship where you kind of recognize how an inconsistent meal pattern plays such a big role in your health and also in how you feel about yourself and your nutrition in general. For me, it was my acid reflux that really reminded me of like, yep, you have to fix your meal pattern because it's not going to work this way. And I remember years of like fasting where I wasn't eating and all of those things really impacting now on how missing meals just is a very, very rough situation to be in, you know? So that's a very great learning for those going into your 2024 routines and even for the rest of 2023. Meal patterns, very, very important.
And it may not be as, well, for the most of you, I hope, it may not be as drastic as mine. I hope you're not pulling multiple 24-hour shifts. But if you're a clerk, I'm sorry, you have to. That's how it is. We have to change that in healthcare, but it's kind of hard because there's so many patients and there's very little personnel and staff. So even if we want to change it and it's for continuity of care, it's hard because we are undermanned, right? But yeah, for the most of you who are listening, and I hope it's not as drastic, but I just want to make it clear that even if it's not as drastic, like those like meal skips, you do it a lot of times. Yeah, yeah. You end up skipping those. You can end up ruining your mood. You become hangry. Yeah, you end up binging. You can end up binging. You can end up overeating. Remember, those two are different from their last episode, overeating and binging. But yeah, skipping meals can lead to either one, right? So it adds up. Even if you think, oh, I only skip meals like once every other day, or I just skip breakfast, but then you don't realize that it's actually affecting your meal timing. And that's why you're grumpy or moody, or you end up overeating or snacking.
To also connect with what you mentioned as well, you know, just because you're not hungry also doesn't necessarily mean, especially when it's your first meal, oh, I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat. That's just my meal pattern. If you notice that it affects the rest of your day, then it's probably better if you have even the lightest meal in the morning, because it does play that very important role of impacting the other meals, your mood, your satiety for the rest of the day. Okay, so lesson number one, meal pattern is very, very important. Okay, my turn. My biggest learning this year happened as I was having a conversation with my sister, Bai. If and you listeners are familiar, the reason why I am bald is because my sister was diagnosed with lymphoma, she was going through chemo, we shaved our heads, and recently there's a relapse. So essentially we were in the car and she was talking about how sometimes I just really want to know what the meaning of life is. Like, I don't know the purpose anymore. You know, it's such a big thing that we're always thinking, like, what is the meaning of life, all of that. And in that sense of, if you're feeling an impending doom in a way in your life, even more so, you're looking for what the meaning of life is. And when she asked me, what do you think, or what do you think the purpose of life is for you? And it got me thinking, and I was like, I think it's just to experience as many things as you can. And that was a big revelation for me, because I was like, yeah, that for me is the meaning of life, just to get as many experiences as possible, because that's going to build who you are. It's going to build all of these things. And the reason why I put this also in my relationship with food and my body is because for so long, I didn't have many experiences that I allowed myself to have. I was hiding in bathrooms instead of making friends. I was watching shows in the evening, binge eating instead of going out whenever my blockmates would ask me to hang out with them. I put myself or my life on hold for so long because of the fear around food and my body that I didn't get to experience life. And it was in the past few years, and specifically this year, where I did allow myself to experience more things, from new hobbies like tennis to actually traveling and experiencing the world, you know. This is really what reminded me that, hey, you know what? Life is about experiences. And if you're not going to experience anything, you have to reevaluate what you want to do.
One of my mottos in life, like ever since like middle school, like I already knew it was, is live life to its fullest. Like it really is. Like, you know me, I love to go out, I travel, love being with my friends. Of course, I also love being by myself, but I too feel that that is part of living a full life. That you try to find as, like what you said, find as many experiences as you can, right? Life doesn't just mean go hang out with your friends or no. It means to discover art. It means to go into nature, try different foods, find peace within yourself. And you might think, oh, that's so cliche, but it's true. Like, you know, you have to, it, just like health, life is very holistic. It has many different things that make it up.
And I just want to also emphasize, you know, yeah. They say that cliches are cliches because they're true and they're real, you know? And even if it's cheesy to say, it's reality as well.
Yeah, and if you don't really live your life, did you actually live your life?
That's,
you
know? Wow, and so profound.
Maybe this comes from, you know, from a side of privilege. But, you know, some people, I mean, a lot of people end up, you know, doing their best, even if they don't have the means or, you know, I've seen multiple people that don't let things hold them back from living a life that they want to live, you know, and that's, I feel like that's a great mindset for everybody.
And that's why most videos that you see where people are like connecting and doing all these things are so inspiring, because you can see them have actually life-altering experiences. But I also want to emphasize, like, experience life doesn't mean that every single thing you have to do has to be like a grand thing, traveling to another country or like full on trying a new hobby. It can be small things like trying a new coffee shop or maybe talking to an old friend that you hadn't connected with before or commenting on somebody's video, because these very small experiences can also lead to connections. And that's really why you want to experience life, because you want to connect with people as well.
Yep. You know me, I love connecting.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's go on to our next one. Elijah, what is your second learning of the year?
So my next part actually kind of ties in with living your life, right? It really does. And that is to live in the moment. Everybody has stresses. Everybody has worries. People get anxiety. You get scared. But that doesn't mean that you should not be in the moment. And what does being in the moment mean?
Feel your stress.
It means to savor it. It means to savor. Savor that moment. Savor the time that you have, because it's limited.
Mm-hmm. Right? You mean also to savor your stress, your anxiety, and your worries?
You know, sometimes you... You like you make fun of that, but yeah, I think it
is
because
I don't make fun of that.
No, sorry, you know, not make fun of it, but yeah, no, like I think even your worries, your stresses, and your anxiety, you should savor because that makes you feel alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
and well, maybe savor,
because if you don't have anxieties or worries, not savor.
Maybe just like feel it, you know, like feel your feelings as it's happening. I don't know who said it, but I heard it recently, and they were like, you know, you only learn, and I know it's, again, another cheesy thing, but like, you really only learn from those downs that happen, and you won't learn a lot if your life is just super happy all the time. And that's unfortunate, of course, and sad, but like, it's just the truth that if you are not experiencing things or being in the moment of all of these stuff, you will not be able to learn as well.
Yeah, that's true, because it doesn't make it complete. There's going to be that missing piece where it's like, What does sadness feel like? What does anxiety feel like? You know, as much as we say, I don't want to be sad, I don't want to feel sadness, but you have to get through it to know what you don't want, because you'll never understand what it means and what it feels like if you never live through it. So the times that you do feel sad, the sometimes that you feel anxious, live through that and experience it, because, you know, it'll give you that experience, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, anyways, back to what I was saying. This is becoming very melancholic. What I mean, like, is if you do feel it, right, that it is a part of life, and that it's a good way to grow.
Mm-hmm. No? I think I could also just kind of relate this to when you're sick. You know, when you're sick, because like recently I got sick. When you're sick, it's like you never know what not being sick feels like. Because like in your head, you're like, oh my God, I felt this way since forever. Even if it's like just been one day. And you're like, I don't even remember what feeling healthy feels like anymore. You know, because like the other day I was like with a fever. And I was like so uncomfortable every time I moved. And then like the next day I felt so much better. And there was just like this relief, you know. And I know it sucks to have to hear like people say like, yeah, you have to go through the downs to be able to appreciate the ups. But then that's also it. And by being in the moment doesn't necessarily mean that you're like, oh, this is the best moment ever, I'm going to savor it. It's just life happens so fast. It is just so, 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 so fast. And you can never go back in time. So whatever is happening in that moment, really try to be in that moment. And in life now, you have so many distractions. You've got TikTok, you've got Instagram, you've got YouTube. All of us are on our phones all the time. And it's those few times that I look up and then that I remember that like, oh, right, life is literally happening. And I don't want it to happen around me. I want to happen in, like, I want the life to happen while I'm there, you know?
Yeah, this really hit me hard after our last Japan trip. Because, like, I kind of regret the times that I did use my phone when we were out. You know, I did try to limit it, but I really do have those moments of regrets where it's like, dang, I should have just put down my phone and just savored that moment more and had been in the moment. But, you know, I'm not saying that I didn't, that I wasn't. But, yeah, you know, you take it for granted because life moves by so fast and you don't realize it. Wait, Dad's there. You go. Thank you, Dad. Thank you for opening the lights. Anyways, yeah. So you end up taking it for granted, but I'm happy though that I was able to apply it when we did travel, because living in the moment, it got me to enjoy eating all the amazing foods that we ate on our travels and just like not care about anything, just like enjoy the food. I overate. But it's okay.
And being in the moment applies to your relationship with food and your body as well. Because if you are constantly thinking about the past and thinking about the future, this is what I tell my clients. Most of the time when we think about food, we're thinking about either what's going to happen if we eat this. Like, if I eat this cookie now, what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to gain weight. I'm going to impact my blood sugar, all of these things. So we're always thinking in the future, or we're thinking in the past of, oh, I ate that cookie yesterday and now I have to burn it off. We're never really focused on what we're eating in that moment, you know? So it's so important to be in the moment in your movement, in your meals. It's not about tomorrow or yesterday, it's just about now. How do you want to feel? And of course, in the grander scheme of things, you're thinking about the long-term big picture of, you know, how are these habits going to impact me long-term? But you also have to think about the in the now. Do I enjoy my food? Does this movement make me feel good? Because those small things is what makes up your life, essentially. And life is not just about exercise and working out. It's really about being able to experience life because you are able to, you know? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a work-life balance, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Let's go to our fourth one.
Next one.
So this is a really important learning for me this year. It's plan around your rest. And this is something that one of the first few episodes of our podcast, Miss Belle Rodolfo introduced to me. during that episode because she mentioned how she plans around her rest. And I was like, wow, that's a really, really important concept. Because most of the time, we're waiting for the rest to happen. Like, okay, when is the next long weekend? When is this next time I can finally breathe? But if you set aside time in your week as much as you can, of course, privilege is there. Time management is something that is not necessarily something everyone has access to in a sense. But if you can set maybe one day, 5 minutes of your week that you're like, no one is going to disturb me at this time. This is going to be my day to do things that's going to make me feel rested and actually feel like I'm doing something for me. Do that. And that's why recently, because in the start of the year, I was like, go, 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 go. 8 to 8, I would schedule all of these sessions. I was like, sige, go lang, kaya ko yan, blah, 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 blah. And then until I'm like burnt out every end of the week. So now I'm like, because I have my like time on my hands, I try my best not to schedule anything on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like those are my family time. That's my me time. I'll work on projects that are just for me at that time. You know, that really helped my mental health and my physical health because I wasn't planning around when will I have a free time. I was planning around making sure I still had time for myself.
Yeah, no, I agree. My whole clerkship year was like around clerkship. It was like, when can I get rest? Well, but then again, it was really sporadic because like, right, you have a from, which is like a day off, but like it always changes. So it was really hard to plan around a free time. But when it got a bit better, it was like, okay, when am I gonna play tennis with Joe? Or like, you know?
You were able to plan around your free time after a while, right?
Yeah. No, but that was towards the end, right? After the really hectic ones. And that was, it really got me to like take my life back in a way where I was like, yes, like I'm happy. Like I'm going to play tennis like this day. It's like, and we would plan it every week. Like, okay, I'm free on this day. I'm going to play tennis that day. No one's going to stop me from playing tennis on that day. And, when I graduated, you know, you're like, yay, I graduated. And I'm not going to be a physician in the Philippines.
Yay, I graduated.
Yeah, I graduated. No, and then it's like, I'm not going to be a physician in the Philippines. So I didn't take my postgraduate internship, which means I'm not taking my boards in the Philippines. So it's like, oh, so you're pretty much chill. And then you realize, oh, crap, I have to take the licensure for the States. And you're just like, oh, my God. You know, you start thinking like, how much time am I going to put in from studying? And then I realize, wait, no, I have to know when I can actually have free time. So, you know, you make a schedule and everything. And I was like, these days, no one will disturb me because I will be doing what I want to do. These are my study days. I make a half days. And now I play tennis every single morning. That's my free time. Because when I play tennis, I'm at my happiest. And I'm at like, and I feel rested. It's like, feel rested. You're playing tennis, but yeah, like my heart and my mind is happy because it's like I get to do what I want. And then once I get home, I eat and I go into, you know, study mode, and then I rest after, and it's nice, you know, because I planned that my every morning I will play tennis, and since I get to play tennis every day and I planned around it, I'm happy and I'm able to be more consistent and I'm able to be more diligent in my studies.
Yeah, that's like one very important example. And that's also why hustle culture sucks, because it doesn't allow us or remind us to, from our previous lessons that we said, be in the moment and experience life, because you're just going through everything, trying to get as much goals in your bag as possible, trying to like do all of these things at once to the point where you're burnt out, and that's when you realize, oh, I should have savored every moment. I should have rested more. I should have really allowed myself to experience these things in between. And I guess a lot of us can really just say that after everything, because I guess it's really hard for you to have, like when you're younger, to be told, yeah, I remember to be in the moment, remember to experience life. It's kind of hard for you to be like, okay, I will, you know, like, that's what I'm going to do, because it doesn't really make sense to you. And unfortunately, a lot of your lessons, a lot of lessons that we have come from experience and regret as well, you know, where it's like, yeah, I should have done that more, but at least in some way, shape, or form, we're able to apply it a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, next one. How about your last one?
The last thing, okay, is health is multifaceted. And I'm like one of the, you know, I always say this in a lot of our podcasts where health is not just, you know, physical mm-hmm.
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we always say this health. In a lot of, we emphasize.
Yeah, we always
it.
Say that. And then this year, it's just like, dang, yeah, it really isn't. You know, like, it's not like practicing what you preach, but it's more like, it was more of like a realization mm-hmm. where it's like,
how did you realize dang, it? Like, what made this happen? Or like, what deepened this realization for you?
Lack of sleep.
Okay.
Personal connection in the hospital, where it's like, if I didn't have a solid support system, I would have broken. Like, I would have sincerely like lost my mind. Like, I would have been so bad. And just, you know, being with you and the sisters, like, really helped make me feel better. You know, spending time with you guys, it recharged me. Financially, saving up for stuff, mm-hmm. being able to go yeah. to Japan,
and like,
you realize it's like, you do yeah, need
and
money.
Not being able
like,
to afford the little things, you know, like, oh, I want to eat right? lunch, but I can't afford anything really satisfying right now. I have to get like the least satisfying yeah. meal, and then you feel so, yep. You know, off with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like, I can't even afford shomai or fishbowl. But yeah.
But that's because the prices went up.
Like, again,
by the way.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it might seem like, you know, privileged way of thinking, like financial, but yeah,
no, that's a big
financial
part of
health
mm-hmm.
is a thing. It's a
health,
big part of life.
I mean,
so yeah, what did I say? We did social,
sleep,
so, you know,
social,
being able to restart sleep.
Financial.
Well, sleep is part of physical and fitness, right? Tennis like played a big role in my cardiovascular health as a hypertensive and whatnot, helped me with my heart health. But like I said, meal timing and skipping meals, that's, you know, that's for food, nutrition. And then mentally, all of that facets of health, if any of them are lacking in any way, it plays a role in mental health, right? You don't have money, you can't eat it. Oh, it's like, fudge, I can't. And it's like, you're stressed. You don't get enough sleep, you're stressed. You don't see your significant other or your friends or people who are important to you, you get stressed. Right. So all of these also go into mental health. And if you're not mentally healthy, then you just don't want to do anything.
Exactly. That's also why whenever I have like a webinar or something, the first thing I do is define health. Okay. So the World Health Organization defines health as the, oh my gosh, I always, okay, I got this. So the World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Fun story, by the way, I got this answer correctly in college. It's like the first time I answered a question in my fourth year of college, and I was like, I'm so smart. That's the only thing I got. Okay, anyway, just like emphasizing that.
How did you pass college if that was the only thing
I mean,
you got
when
right?
You're, I'm just I mean, kidding. That's the only thing I like raised my hand to answer, because like I'm a shy person, you know, so I like, even if I know the answer, I'm like, I'm just gonna because I'm too shy and I might be wrong. But this was the first time I was like, I know this and I have an answer to this one. Okay, and it was like, what is health by the WHO definition. So anyways, this is showing us, you know, health is not just about your physical health, because your physical health will impact your mental and social health. Your mental health, if it's not okay, it's going to impact your physical and your social health. If your social health is not okay, it's also going to impact your mental health and then impact your physical health. So they're all so interconnected.
Like I said, even financial health, if you don't have money, you can't even buy medication to help fix some of your physical
even
health.
Even just food.
Right?
You wouldn't be able to buy food.
And food. Your food, yeah. And
Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? that shelter.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good environment when you're growing up and you don't feel safe, you don't feel comfortable, that's going to impact your self-care. We talked about a lot of these topics over the past few episodes, and to bring it all together is just to remind us that, hey, your health is not as much in control, in your control, as you think it is. And it's not to say give up, don't care, do what you can, but also know that there is so much that impacts you, your health. For example, like we mentioned when we were in Japan, wow, the steps we would take. Like, there's just so many steps we would take. 25,000 minimum steps we would be taking. And here, it's so hard to even get 5,000 steps in a day because where am I going to be walking? You know, there's not a lot of infrastructure made for us to be able to maintain our health because we're stuck in traffic instead of walking around and getting our movement in. We're not given the places that will help us improve our health. There's so many parks. There's so many different spaces you can run, enjoy. When we went to the parks in the different countries that we went to,
Japan, Singapore, Taiwan, being able to ride a bike for miles on end next to the ocean, like, that's so awesome, right? And if you had the opportunity to do that, why wouldn't you? But we can't here. Or wherever.
Where you're biking for like health and leisure versus biking for survival because you don't have any other mode of transportation. You know, that's kind of a lot of what biking is here. There, you know, when we're talking about it's also like a privilege to have a car, of course, you know. But it's the structure itself of us not being able to have options of how we want to take care of our health or how we can travel and all of that, where we can only either bike out of necessity and need, and then you're super sweaty and super tired all the time as you bike because it's so hot, you're smelling smoke everywhere. You know, how does that help us or optimize our health? You know, there's so many things that are just not in your control.
Yeah, and that's how some of our previous lessons can, you know, can help, right? Being in the moment, you know, and making do with what you can and with what you have. So
exactly.
Guys, don't take it for granted. Life moves too fast, I swear.
I know, it feels like we want to give up a lot of the time because it's like everything feels hopeless, and I'm not trying to make it hopeless. I'm just trying to remind us that we can do everything that we can, and we still have things that are not in our control, but that doesn't mean that you're a failure, that you suck. Just work with what you have and know that you are doing your best. So let's go to our final learning of the year. Mine is you have to be patient. Okay, this is a tough one. And this is a this
I
is one
to be
that we're always
for you
told.
To get that out.
Yeah, I wanted to give it an experience. Okay, not be a patient, but be patient, because
I see what you did. So there,
the reason why this is something that really impacted or like really hit me this year is because there are so many times where you get so frustrated in your relationship with food, your body, in life, and then you look back and you're like, oh wait, I've done so much. And a specific learning of this for me is there was this one day where I was just so, 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 so hungry. And I was like going to the pantry and I was like looking for other food. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to binge again. I haven't had this experience in so long. But instead of being like, you suck, why are you doing this? You're supposed to be all healed and whatever with what you post online. I was like, what's happening? Like, what's making you feel so hungry? And I was like, oh yeah, because the past few days I haven't had a really important, I hadn't really stuck to my meal pattern because I've been busy, I was out, and I'm also really, really stressed right now. And that was like also an aha moment for me, where like, wow, you're so grown. Like, years ago, you would have been so mad at yourself for this, but now you're so grown and you're just like, it's okay, Joe, you can do this. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of funny because it's like, be patient. Didn't you just tell us to like live our life because life moves too fast? Mm-hmm. Like, why do we have to be patient? No, guys.
They exist in the same realm.
They exist in the same realm. Sometimes you just have to wait and work for stuff that you want and believe that you'll get it. And you will. Like, I never expected that I'm a doctor now.
Yeah, that you would finally graduate, you know, because it's like from first year, you're like, even your fourth year, you're like,
But I was patient. I took my time.
No, you were a doctor.
Okay. Guys, okay. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for the wonderful 52 weeks of this year. But yeah, no. But while being patient to achieving my goals, I lived my life and I enjoyed it to its fullest. And I feel like they do work hand in hand because, you know, you have to work for things that you want. It's not just going to be handed to you in a silver platter, except for foods that are handed to you in a silver platter, like maybe grapes or something. Grapes.
Yeah. Okay, so I had this conversation with my client the other day where we were talking about their wins. Like, yes, okay, that's great. You have all of these wins, but there were still so many things that they were struggling with. And then, so they asked me, how long does it usually take? You know, how long does this process usually take for your clients, for the people you've worked with? And I was like, you know, it really depends, because there are some people who go through my program and then they're doing so well with their relationship with food. And there are others who are struggling a bit more. And that doesn't mean that they've failed. It's just that they are using, or that the program failed as well. It's just that there are a lot of tools that you are given and you are being taught how to use that in your daily life. And even for me, it took me 3 years or 3 to 4 years to get to the point where I am in my relationship with food. It wasn't like overnight I was like, there's no good or bad food, I'm healed. It took so long for that, you know? And in those days, I was also learning how to experience my life. And it's now that I look back and I'm like, okay, everything came together. Not necessarily in the way I wanted to. If I had a choice, it would have been much faster. It would have been overnight. I wouldn't have to struggle or stress with all of those things. But it happened because I kept doing it whenever I could and every single day that I could. And in the same way where posting on social media, been posting since 2015, didn't do anything from there. Like, it was all struggle. So many times I wanted to give up, but I just kept going. And even if it already felt like I was basically just wasting my life because I wasn't really getting much from it, aside from my creative expression and being able to, like, you know, I mean, career-wise, like, nothing was really happening and I wasn't looking for a job. I was just like, I'm just going to be posing online. It doesn't matter if I don't have a job or whatever. Like, I just kept on doing that. And it takes so much time. But as long as you know that you are taking the steps that you need to take, you have to be patient with it. You know, unfortunately, you have to be patient.
You just need to know, yeah, like what you said, know what the steps are. Be patient because you'll get there someday. But in that time, from when you started to the time where you finally achieve it, that is the time where you have fun, you live the moment, you enjoy, and you create experiences. Because
you don't take that middle for granted.
Don't take that middle for granted, because it's going to feel like monotonous, you know. But you have to add life to it. You have to add the color to the painting.
As a middle color child, to the painting. Don't Sorry. Take the middle child. Coloring book. Add color to the coloring book. I'm a middle child, so I resonate with that. You know, don't take the middle for granted.
I'm the bunso, so I get everything handed to me in a silver platter. Like grapes.
Like grapes.
I've actually never gotten grapes served on a silver platter. It's always been served in a colander. Because, you know, yeah, because my mom...
A colander? Not even like a
No, colander, because like my mom would wash it and then she'd put in the colander so it would dry and drip. So,
yeah.
Not in a Tupperware. It was always a colander. Always.
Never a bowl? Like just a serving for you? Like that?
Tupperware would be like watermelon. Those would be the Tupperware type of foods. But like, yeah.
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 It's a very important conversation.
Thanks again.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. We are very, what do you call this? We are talking so deep into our butts right now, trying to be all worldly and lively. But these are some of the lessons that we learned from the year. Share your lessons as well with us at the Donut Box Pod on Instagram or anywhere. Share this episode as well if you want to.
Thank you for year of amazingness. Well, mostly for Joe. I'm happy that I was able to be onboarded halfway through the year, but I really do appreciate it because it makes me feel part of the community. And, you know, when, you know, I saw on Joe's stories people tagging the Donut Box Pod and showing their recap.
Are you tagging me?
I'm not really part. Like, I'm the guy just there, and that's fine, you know? I'm the guy.
You're the guy.
Literally the guy in the podcast. But no, it warms my heart when I see, you know, like the year end Spotify thing where it's like, here you go. It's my top three podcasts of the year or top one. And just like, wow. You know, people listen and it helps them and they enjoy it. So to be able to be part of something like that, you know, it makes me really want to keep moving forward with it and make more amazing content. By the way, the brains of this is all Joe. All I do is sit down and talk. She does all the planning.
You have some brains.
I'm just
Stop
kidding.
Doing that to yourself. But in connection to the podcast, we do want to thank everybody for listening to the episodes. This is a slowly growing family, and we really, really appreciate it. The podcast has been something I've always wanted to do as somebody who talks to themselves all the time. So to have someone to talk to, not just Elijah, but the people who listen to the podcast, it's always a pleasure. It's always an honor, and it's always a sprinkle of joy in my life. So thank you all so much. Keep sharing the pod. Keep listening.
It's only going to get better from here. There are times where we may sound sabog or I don't explain it as well as I should have. But those are learning points. They're lessons. And you learn from them and we make it better. So next year, like we said in the podcast. But yeah, next year, just you wait. Just like Hamilton, just you wait.
Thank you so much, guys. For listening to the pod. Again, share it with your friends. And we will
hear you again. Oh my God.
Woo!
Happy New Year and happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that is the end of this episode and of the episodes for the year. Thank you again so much for listening to the podcast. And if you can, please follow us at the Donut Box Pod on Instagram and here on Spotify as well. You can also follow me at It's Joe Sebastian on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, aka X, Threads, and YouTube, or at healwithjoe.rnd on Instagram. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima podcast. Don't forget to follow them for the latest pods. Until the next episode and until next year, don't forget, you always deserve to eat. Bye!